are on 2SCR FM 107.3.
Okay, do stick around.
I think that is actually really sound advice.
Michael, thank you for taking some time out to have a chat here on The Band Next Door on 2SCR. Congratulations on your new record, Dream Violence. It's your fourth album now. I guess looking back to when you did that first album, Blood Courses, and that was released back in 2008, do you feel like now you've finally kind of settled into your stride of how to not only write music, but record and have everything together, as broad as that may seem as a question?
Yeah, sure, man. Well, thanks for getting behind the record. As to whether or not I've hit my stride, I think every record's different. I'm not one of those people that says, like, I finally made that record that I wanted to make, you know? Because they're all fairly challenging for me, you know? Like, I'm happy with this record, and I was happy with the last few. That first one's a little premature, but that had its own set of circumstances.
Of course, yeah.
Stand behind as well. I was happy with how it went. It had tons of challenges. There's stuff that I look at now and go like, oh, I wish I would have done that better. And I think that kind of makes me more excited to get on to the next one, you know? So I don't dwell too much on any particular thing on this record, other than maybe to fix a few things here and there, you know?
Yeah, cool. Well, you originally hail from, I believe it's Merced in California.
Merced.
No, you've said, just generally in past interviews, that your first year in Melbourne was actively when you started to participate in bands and to get involved in the music scene. Do you remember who it was at the time, like what the kind of catalysts of musicians were who really kind of sparked your interest in getting into the local scene of Melbourne?
It's funny, in that first year, I don't even know I was in a local scene. Like, I'd always wanted to play music. I just think, yeah, that place, Merced, is maybe it'd be like growing up in Dubbo or something like that. There wasn't a scene, you know? Like, most of what you did was play sport, and I wasn't good at sport, so I was kind of a fish out of water there. So I first went to school in Southern California, and that was its own sort of thing, kind of like a surf town, uni town, and that was nice, but didn't really suit me that well either. And then, so when I came to Melbourne that first year, I was out in this uni, La Trobe Uni, which is out in Bundoora, which is like an hour and 10 minutes away from the city by tram.
Wow.
So I don't even think, you know, we barely even went into the city or Fitzroy or... So yeah, that first year was mostly just like playing, you know, with other friends who would also kind of come from the country, who were also like marginally interested in music and kind of hashing it out, you know, some version of me being influenced by MTV and then influenced by Triple J, you know. So it was a scene of its own, but it certainly wasn't the Melbourne scene. It wasn't really until I kind of had gone and lived in LA for a couple of years and came back. And then when I came back, my friends from that uni, specifically one in particular, was working at the ESPY and working at the Northcote Social Club when it had first kind of started really getting going as a venue, and that's when things really changed.
It's interesting that you mention the rural, because I always find that just generally, like around the traps, even here in Sydney, it's always the folks that come out from like the country that seem more really driven in getting involved. They feel more, I guess, challenged in trying to be accepted into certain scenes or just trying to get music out there.
I would 100% agree with that. I was very driven, you know. You grow up in this country area and you have no sense of culture or taste, or I didn't, you know, growing up kind of pre-internet, you know. We had MTV, so I was kind of like influenced by that, but even Triple J as an American, you know, even the American bands on Triple J weren't big in America, you know, because America was so much more mainstream at that time, you know. I can remember when I first came back, like the first Australian bands to really kind of get behind us and like support us in scenes that we were a part of, this band, The Stabs, do you remember them?
No, I don't, unfortunately.
They were a killer Melbourne band. Homeless Records, Richie, who has kind of done, I don't know, everything from Amel and the Sniffers to Sydney Band would be like, Yes, I'm Leaving or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah, that Stabs were like one of the first things he reissued. It was, he kind of fell into that kind of Homeless record thing, and then Richie really got behind us as a band and went from there, I suppose.
Again, just kind of dwelling on your hometown, it's only about 200 k's away from San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you were a kid, Like, did the wave of, like, the 60s music and culture have any effect on you growing up? Did it reach that far?
No, not at all. I laugh because my parents, God love them, they weren't into art. You know, my parents, like, actively hated art. I was 18 or 19 before I went to San Francisco, even though we were, like, 2 hours away from it. You know, my dad hated the traffic and the parking and, you know, like... So we would be more likely to go down to San Diego because my parents wanted to go to the beach or something like that, which was more like 5 or 6 hours away, or down to LA to go to San Francisco, which is where the art was. And I don't blame them for that, but I certainly grew up in an environment where it's just like art was for, you know, weirdos and poor people or something. You know?
Yeah.
There's certainly a dichotomy with people in the city.
You just released your fourth album. It's a record called Dream Violence. I know that you don't really listen to your own albums that much, but sometimes with the way with how the music industry works, and you know, records are done up to a year before they do get released into the world. So how do you feel now about these songs? Like, has your relationship changed? Like, do you grow weary quickly of your own material?
Well, I guess, like, after, you know, performing and mixing them, certainly. But it's nice after taking a break because, like you say, it had been a while since we recorded the record. My approach to hearing these songs is like, I wouldn't particularly like, you know, someone putting it on at a friend's house or something like that because I don't like the attention. But if I hear it, you know, on the radio or in, you know, in doing these interviews, I've heard, you know, people playing it before or after or whatever. And what I kind of remember is like how fun it was recording. You know, my bandmates who I really enjoy, and I think of the, you know, the little happy accidents and yeah, the fun moments in the recordings. You know, like anything, it's nice to look back and remember the nice stuff. I actively block out the really, you know, stressful and unpleasant parts of recording.
Yeah, yeah, because you were going like back and forth a fair bit with this album, weren't you?
Yeah, it was all over. Some of it was recorded in Oakland, some of it, and then it was mixed in San Francisco, and then we recorded some in Melbourne and mixed it here, and then I remixed it in Melbourne for parts of the songs. I, you know, had two different people try and master it. It was a labor of love.
Some listeners might know you better as a member of Shovels back in the day in like 2013 when that record was released. I don't feel like as if the music you do under your own name is as angry as what Shovels was. Do you feel like you've calmed down, or are you just expressing, I guess, anger in different ways these days?
I think you're right. I don't think I've like calmed down. I mean, maybe I've probably calmed down, I guess, as I've got old. But musically, I think what we were doing with Adam Pete and I with Shovels had this like, we had all acknowledged it, you know, it had this weird kind of like paranoia and anger to it.
Yeah,
as like a, not as something that we were just these angry, paranoid men. It was that like, for some reason, the music that came out was that. So as a vocalist, that was like what was most appropriate, I suppose. Whereas with my own solo stuff, like sometimes that's the emotion, sometimes it's sadness or happiness or something more nuanced or whatever. Part of the reason I guess my records are all over this place is I don't really go in with any preconception of what the music should be. It's just like whatever I'm feeling, I'm gonna just do, and if it seems to stand the test of time, I'll just put it on a record, you know?
So would you say that Dream Violence has an emotional center at all, or is it just, I guess, feelings of just whatever it is at the time that you were experiencing?
It's a good question. I think looking back on my own work, I can definitely see I like writing about the human condition.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
This like sense of a duality between kind of tragedy and beauty and, you know, feelings of fate and feelings of freedom and feelings of trappedness. And, you know, I'm trying to encapsulate something large. Whether I do that is up to the listener. You know, I think more maybe what's the entertaining thing is watching a very kind of human person try and encapsulate something much bigger than them, which usually is a failure, but it's, you know, it's interesting watching someone struggle to do that, you know?
When it comes to writing music, I know that you also dabble on piano and guitar. Yeah. What generally is the first kind of go-to for you?
I play both equal amounts during the day. They're
okay.
Both very, very kind of vital to my self-enjoyment and process of writing. I love them both for what they're both capable of. I enjoy the contrast on a record.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, dynamics and contrast keep a record interesting. I mean, there are some records that are just pure pummel or pure fragility, but And those have their own place. But for me, I really like things to be dynamic. So yeah, you have a big blasting thing at the start, and eventually you pull it back, and then people do get drawn in. And then you, once they're drawn in, you club them over the head with some other stupid shit. So, you know, that's just like, that's the entertainment biz, you know?
Yeah,
keep people guessing.